Hey, hey, you're tuning in to Billion Dollar Moves, and this is part of a bonus series, quick takes from some of my conversations from the annual meeting of the World Economic Forum at Davos for you as you build 2023 as the important decision maker and leader that you are. It features my quick thoughts, a discussion, snippets of a panel that moved me, and if you're intrigued, there are fuller recordings either on my YouTube channel or other sources which will be listed in the show notes. Now, the cliff notes on Davos. Every January, a highly curated selection of invitees from global business, government, civil society, media, and academia converge on the Swiss town to attend sessions designed to spark productive discussions around the most pressing issues of the day and ultimately drive impact and action. Now, many people question whether the 53rd meeting would still hold relevance in a post-pandemic world given criticism of the Davos men. And as perhaps a biased first-timer, my answer is an undoubted yes. I can now confirm Davos remains an event full of paradoxes. A modest ski town near Zurich, Switzerland that otherwise is unassuming, boasts the richest and the most powerful. And yes, the juxtaposition is uncanny of perhaps the most climate enthusiast in a week, and yet criticism of private jets by billionaires and politicians taking up more carbon footprint than it should. But Davos isn't just about the keynotes. The meeting is also famous for the networking and deal-making that goes on in the corridors, side rooms, hotel suites, and Barry's piano bar of this alpine town. As one of the white badges as a young global leader of WEF, I soaked in the opportunity to learn and unlearn, contribute, and yes, chat with many a Davos man. So you're getting my inside look. Now let's get started.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Sarah Chen Spellings from Washington, D.C. I run the Billion Dollar Fund for Women, now called Beyond the Billion, the world's first and largest global consortium investing into women-founded companies, venture capital. So I come from the lens of venture capital, technology, Silicon Valley, so on and so forth. There's this terminology of a non-political leader. And today we're faced with so many issues from Asian hate crimes to Roe v. Wade and all these issues that stakeholders have a view, right? And as representatives, as the face leading your companies that touches so many lives, you're looked to take a stand. And recently, you know, 2020, 2021 with George Floyd and all that, we've had instances in the Valley where a third of the company left when a CEO of Coinbase and Basecamp actually decided the workplace is not for politics. How would you advise a young leader who's at the forefront of building a company that's not yet, you know, 60,000 employees, struggling with resources, but also with a growing generation of stakeholders that care about who this leader represents and the values that they represent? Thank you.
That's nice, simple one.
I think in England, that's what's known as a corker.
There's probably no topic that corporate leaders are spending more time on than this one, because it is such an imperative. You have a war for talent. People want to work for organizations that align with their values. Simply saying silent isn't one of the options. And you've seen large cross-sections of the corporate world speak out on big issues, make statements about the values of what the company stands for.
Hold that thought. Teams everywhere are dealing with a serious problem, a productivity problem. But don't worry, HubSpot's customer platform can help. No more time-consuming tasks, no more chasing down prospect info, no more one system for this, another for that. HubSpot helps you find leads, reach prospects, and deliver the insights to convert them into customers all in one place, making your productivity problem no problem at all. Visit HubSpot.com to learn how they can help you grow better.
Now you're seeing some backlash of companies gone too far. Nobody's got this completely figured out, but I will give you a few thoughts just in terms of what we see at clients right now, some of where the dialogue seems to be headed. Really important that companies continue to be willing to speak out on values. It's also not reasonable to expect that companies can become the arbiter of every divisive societal issue. So there's issues upon which society is split pretty evenly down the middle. And you know, business is actually going to lose trust if it comes out and is viewed as politicized and wading in on the most contentious issues that divide communities. Now, fortunately, there are big cross sections of these issues that should be pretty inclusive, that should draw people in from across the political spectrum, that are grounded in values. If you tune into, you know, various forms of, you know, cable news and social media, much of the conversation is grounded in the 5% that's highly divisive. That takes up most of the oxygen, but that leaves the 90 to 95% where you ought to be able to have statements that are unifying, statements that bring people together across different political beliefs that demonstrate to employees you do stand for something and you are a values-driven organization. All of that's easy to say at 30,000 feet. People generally wouldn't object to those things. Then it gets real when you talk about particular issues like the ones you mentioned. And, well, did a company go far enough? Did they go too far? And those are the debates that are happening within C-suites and boardrooms every day.
So, Joe, you're right. We have to be careful that these issues do not become politicized. Having said that, there are obvious areas. Hate crimes is one. I cannot see how an ethical CEO can avoid that discussion. You've got to weigh in. And I think business needs to play in that world. You can't leave it up to non-business leaders to deal with that issue completely, because it is, if you don't stop it when it's small, it will become big. So I think business has a role. You got to be very careful not to be on one side of the political debate or the other, but there are certain things that if you cross the line, if society crosses the line, or elements of society cross the line, you gotta be very, very strong.
But it's a great example of an issue that should be unifying. Speaking yes. out against hate, hate against the Asian community, hate against the Black community, mm-hmm. hate against the Jewish community. That shouldn't be a political issue. Mm-hmm. That should unite people across the entirety of the political spectrum. And I think you've seen a lot of pride of employees of organizations that have chosen to stand up and demonstrate allyship.
Hate crimes is one particular example where legislation has been passed. Business played a key role in getting that legislation passed, and it was passed with bipartisan support. The documentation of hate crimes, which was not something that was really important at one time. Now, you can get into a debate as to what's political or not, but the actual reporting facts on hate crimes is not a political issue. Law enforcement needs to know about that. And that's an example of where business played a key role.
Niels, yeah.
I can just add, I think it's like, I agree, I think businesses need to weigh in, but it would also be important in my mind that businesses or leaders weigh in where they actually have a credible stand based on the business they have. So you don't want to have CEOs that have an opinion about everything. And we have actually, we have what we call a brand board. We actually sit there and we have made specific decisions on what are topics where we believe we would be a good spokesperson for business, or wherever we stand, I mean, taking children's perspective, where would it be important that we have a position. And then we leave other positions kind of more open, not to have me profiled as somebody that has a position about everything. And I need to be very careful that I don't mix up my personal political belief with the stand we have as a company. And that's something that is difficult. And you just have, I think, to involve that and have your board or whoever you have around that to try to get some of that agreement pre-made. So you know what to do. If you're a young founder of a company, then I think I would pick a few areas close to what the purpose of that company really is. And I would focus in on that, because you don't want to be starting a company and then fiddling around and having opinion about all things in society. Then you may not be successful with your company. So I think there's a certain element of focus and credibility around that.
You wanted the debate to be a little bit lively.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Hey, we're taking a quick break here so I can tell you about this new show that just joined our network. Created, hosted by John Yushai, is brought to you by the HubSpot Podcast Network, the audio destination for business professionals. Created gives an insight look at how to build a business as a creator, improve your creative process, and stay ahead of the latest content trends. John Yushai, ex-YouTube and Instagram employee, breaks down the creator economy with guests like Logan Paul, Paris Hilton, Jason Derulo, Jake Paul, George Lopez, and so much more. A not-so-recent episode I loved was actually the one with Liza Koshy. Remember her? She was one of the fastest-growing YouTubers and Viners, if you remember that, growing a fan base well beyond 25 million subscribers. But then she stopped uploading. What happened to Liza Koshy? That's a smart woman who made a drastic career decision, what I may call a billion-dollar move. You'd want to tune in to this one. Listen to Created wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, but I also, we've got people who are desperate to come in, but
yes, yeah. I disagree with you. Yes, Henry Schein should have an opinion on healthcare. Yeah. But when it comes to things that, for example, you did mention hate crimes. In the United States, it's a big issue. I think business can't be silent. And there are other examples. I don't want to get into too much detail. But yes, Henry Schein has a very significant active role in providing and advancing access to care. I mean, we're involved in, you name the organization we're involved with. Yes, that's our domain. But there are certain items where society crosses the line where I think business has a responsibility to speak out.
And thanks so much for tuning in this week. You can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and follow our socials on Sarah Chen Global to get the latest on the show. It would really help me out too if you enjoyed this to rate and review our show on Apple Podcasts and share your favorite episodes with a friend. I'm Sarah Chen Spellings, and you've been listening to Billion Dollar Moves.